Hello and welcome to Unmuted Unmastered. I'm Will and this is the internet's most downhearted music podcast. On the show this week, I'm joined by James.
Hello.
And Elle.
Hiya.
In this episode, we're going to be reviewing the new album from Pillow Queens. We've got the upcoming releases you need to know about, but first, the news. James, what have you got for us this week?
This week, I happily announce that it's Taylor Swift week for us.
We'd love to hear it.
Yes, we do. We have two new stories. The first one is that Taylor Swift's album, new album, Tortured Poets, has reached 1 billion streams on Spotify. And that's a lot. That's a record for the most streams within a week on Spotify. It was previously held by her previous album, Midnights. So that's two albums in a row that's got that record. It's also the most streamed album within a day of coming out. Her single Fortnite, which features Post Malone, also became the most streamed song in a single day of release. So just records being broken everywhere, but at this point there's no surprise from her. She just breaks every record there possibly is. And then moving on to something a bit more interesting. So a couple of weeks ago we talked about Taylor Swift's music coming back up on TikTok, and we were surprised by that because there's ongoing feuds with TikTok and UMG. With UMG's music not being on there, there's still no deal between them, but somehow Taylor Swift has come to a deal with TikTok. At least that's how it seems. We're still not totally sure what's happening, but yeah, Taylor Swift's album has been heavily promoted on TikTok, so. Yeah, obviously users can create videos with the music as you would be able to anyway. But you can also somehow engage in challenges to unlock exclusive artwork on your profile. I don't have TikTok, so I don't know how this works, but if you do, have a play with it, I guess. And be sure to use the hashtag #TheTorturedPoetsDepartment and you can be
James. We're not her press department. You don't have to say that.
We are now. It's Taylor Swift week, and you have the chance to be featured on the Taylor Swift fan spotlight carousel on TikTok. So that's great, and there's more.
Is it?
There's more. Yes, it is.
I don't even know what that means.
You could be on the carousel.
You could also unlock more content through special entry points. So I think there's certain things you can click, like little Easter eggs within TikTok, to get animations of some kind. And you can also, so you know when you click share and it comes up with like Messenger, WhatsApp and whatever, there's a special circle for Taylor Swift now, and you can click that and it shares, I don't really know how that works, but it shares somehow Taylor Swift with people. So you get the point. Taylor Swift is, her album is everywhere on TikTok now, despite UMG not having a deal with TikTok. It's just, I am actually really surprised about this, but yeah, it's Taylor Swift. She can do anything she wants, really. So, yeah.
I mean, I don't understand TikTok, but that feels like a lot of stuff. It also really does clarify why her music suddenly reappeared on the app. Although what that means for other artists, I don't know. At this point, and I say this as someone who does actually really enjoy Taylor Swift's music, it feels like the, so things like getting like a billion streams and all of that kind of stuff, it feels almost like you cannot quite fathom that anymore because she's broken so many records. You almost become distanced from it because you're like, oh yeah, another one. Whereas like, if you actually think about that, that's wild. That's so many streams. But it, I don't know, I feel like because she's been massive for so long, and I feel like particularly in the last year with the Eras tour, it's kind of like overwhelming and also just like, oh yeah, okay, she's done it again. Nice yeah. one, babes. Can you stop using your private jet now, please? Thank you.
This might be the wrong question to ask. What do we think of the album?
Of the Tortured Poets?
Yeah.
I'll tell you what, it's long, right? Because she announced then, like 2 hours after release.
It sure is.
It was a double album. And I was like, babes, okay, here's the thing. I love you, you know? Maybe that's a bit strong. I love your music. But that's like a lot. And I, having listened to the full thing, I don't think it needed to be a double album.
No, but you're even missing the fact that she released a double album and then she released an even longer version
yeah, and
with
then she
more
was like,
songs.
Oh, here's
on
some
it.
More. I was like, babes, you got to know when to cut. Do you know what I mean? Like, because to be fair, there are a lot of songs in the album that I do really enjoy and it is very melodramatic, which I was all over. I was like, yeah, I love this. Bit angsty. You know, let's moan about stuff that isn't really a problem. But it's like, why does it need to be multiple hours of it? There's not enough variation within it to justify that length. I feel like saying this, yeah. someone's gonna come and like remove my like Eras tour tickets from me or something. I'm gonna get like attacked.
Yeah, hopefully the Swifties don't come for us. Like, yeah, I just
they're coming for me.
To be honest, I just found it boring.
It's
like,
yeah.
The beats, ignoring Taylor Swift's vocals over the top, are just, like, they're not fun. There's, like, one song towards the end that gets a bit fun. But even then, it's not really. And then, like, the lyrics, you know, I'm not a big Taylor Swift fan. And I know lots of people, like, really like hearing, like, slightly veiled references to various celebrities she's dated.
It's all about the
lore. I just
lore.
Don't care. Well, exactly, yeah. Like, as someone who's just coming in to listen to the album and, like, you know, I've liked Taylor Swift albums in the past and some I've liked less and whatever. But like the songwriting, I didn't find all that interesting. I think like if you enjoy it, you're going to enjoy it because of the context, which is fine if that's what you're into. But as an album in and of itself, if you're not invested in Taylor Swift's personal life, I think you're probably not going to be all that into it.
I think that's the thing, it's very much capitalizing on herself as a brand. And I'm like, babes, last year you released Speak Now and 1989 Taylor's version. Like, you should have just, like, ran with that. Because 1989 Taylor's version is one of the greatest albums ever put out into the universe, and I will die on that hill. And it's like, why would you follow that up with this? Just, like, let that... Also, I'm like, chill out, babes. Like, you're releasing an album every couple of months. That's so much.
Yeah, she could have saved 1989 for this year and then...
Yeah.
I don't know. had something that's not this next year.
I did just look it up. And for a... Sorry, I'm going back to the news story. For a album to be counted as a stream, only six tracks need to be streamed from that album. You don't have to have the whole...
That's less than a fifth of the album.
Say, which, as a percentage of that...
Yeah, it's not even half, is it?
it's like nothing. I don't know. I feel like I've really just like taken a negative... There are a lot of songs in the album that I did like. But it was...
It's just weighed down by...
It's just a bit much.
So much stuff, yeah.
I'm like, for what? You know?
Well, at least we've provided a balanced view. James was acting as her personal secretary.
James is on the marketing team.
Right, let's get on to our review for this week. We're looking at Name Your Sorrow by Pillow Queens. It's the Irish band's third album, released on the 19th of April 2024 on Royal Mountains Records. It's 12 tracks long and 44 minutes. What do we think of this album? James, do you want to kick us off?
Yeah, I really enjoy this album. This week, it kept me interested right from the start towards right to the end, and it kept me like excited for what was coming next from track to track, like a really good TV series. Like, you're looking forward to the next episode. That's exactly what this album felt like. It's got fabulous vocal tones and vocal accent. I love a good Irish accent. And the lyrics are good as well. I think they feel really personal and well written. And yeah, I kind of want to delve into them a bit more maybe. Yeah, there might not be too much there, but it feels like there's a lot of story within the lyrics. And I think the instruments also surprised me a bit with how well they were used, and like how things stood out when they needed to. Like, it has some really nice guitar moments, which were really soulful and warming and just delightful. And it wasn't like all guitar throughout the album. They popped in and out. Same goes for the drum parts, which allowed the album to have movement and dynamics, and the bass parts too, which came in and out, but were well done. Adding on to that, I think the album did well to build up and settle down in the right moments. That's within the tracks, but also as a project, a complete project. There were no, in my opinion, there were no like sluggish moments. There were definitely like slower songs, but they still did well to captivate you, especially via those vocals. I think those vocals had a lot of dynamics to them. They were just interesting. Apparently, I didn't like their previous album, which was Leave the Light On. I wasn't a massive fan of it. Apparently, I felt... I was looking back on my previous notes because we reviewed this 2 years ago, I think. The album 2 years ago. I thought it was flat, unimaginative, and had messy lyrics. And I just can't say that this album had that. I thought this album was vibrant, interesting, and heartfelt. And I just think they did a really good job. I really enjoyed it, and it kept me listening.
Elle, what did you think?
I really loved this album. I also, just before I get into my thoughts, James, I loved the way that you referred to yourself almost as like a different person. You're like, oh, apparently I thought this. Like that's you.
Yeah, I'm a different person 2 years ago.
You're a whole new you now.
I'm not the supervillain I am now.
Not now you work on Taylor's marketing team. I loved this album. I in contrast to apparently previous James, I have really enjoyed pretty much everything Pillow Queens has put out, and this for me was just like fantastic. There's always like that slight trepidation when there's an artist you really enjoy, or like coming off like an album or a single that you really love, there's that fear that their newest stuff won't capture the same thing for you, even if it's, you know, still like technically or kind of objectively a good record, it might not resonate with you in the same way. That is not the case with this one. I think technically it's really strong. Lyrically, there's just some really lovely lyrics in it. But on like an emotional level, I was like, oh God, this really hits. In a way that at times I was like, maybe it hits too much. And then I felt a bit like sad. And I was like, oh, I need a bit of a break. But it's fantastically well done. It feels very true to them and their sound while still being, you know, something kind of fresh and new. It does feel very personal and like raw, particularly with those lyrics. but not in a way that feels like you're then excluded from it. It feels, yeah, like they've invited you in to experience this. And I think maybe that's why I then felt very sad. I was like, oh God, that's a lot. But it's just done really well. And sonically, it's a lot of stuff like I really enjoy. It's got that kind of alternative vibe. You know, it's indie rock. Like, I'm always going to be on board with indie rock, particularly from like a queer Irish band. Like, that was always going to be something I'm here for. But it is, yeah, it is just great. And it's got, there are some kind of more like 90s influences I felt on certain tracks. I don't know if this is purely just like me in my head equating like Irish bands together, but I had some like Cranberries vibes at one point and I was like, love this. That might just be me translating like two bands I love into one thing. But it's, yeah, it's just fantastic. There's fantastic guitar work throughout. And yeah, vocally, I also really enjoyed the vocal delivery, and I think it works really well with the lyrics and also kind of then what they do sonically. I think it's just, yeah, a very well-oiled machine at this point. And yeah, I loved this album. I really loved it.
Unlike James, I think my thoughts are going to be quite similar to what I said about their previous one in the last review, unfortunately, which is I still feel like they keep pushing out into different directions and nothing's really hit me in the same way that their debut has. This album, I think, pushes more into kind of a pop rock direction, not in like the same way that Vacations is pop rock, but more like, I mean, at times it reminded me pretty significantly of like recent Foals albums. And I just find that production style really hard to latch onto, because for me it just feels really kind of clean and not, you know, what I loved about that debut album, as well as the songwriting being fantastic and like there being great guitar lines, is that partly it came out in 2020 and it sounded like going and seeing a band at Thekla. Like there's just something about the production on it and the way that the album sounds that has that feeling to it. And on their second one, like I said in the review back then, it sounded like they were aiming more for a stadium. And this one feels like they're more aiming for the radio to me, with that more kind of pop sound. And it just didn't quite resonate, and it just gave the whole thing a bit less of a sense of excitement for me. I think in terms of songwriting and lyricism, I think that it's like solid across the board, but again, I feel like there weren't many like standout moments that I really latched onto. I felt like it was like, if I listened in and went into the lyrics, it was like, oh, there's some nice stuff here, but nothing that I was like, oh, that's, you know, you've really like landed on something like, I don't want to say they haven't landed on something different or unique, because I think there are some interesting, like kind of different ideas put into it, but there aren't any kind of knockout moments that I can kind of grab out, if you know what I mean. Like there aren't big bold lyrics that I'm gonna pull out of my notes and recount back, I feel. So yeah, I think it's an album that I'm negative on, because I want more from it, because that debut, I mean, I'm very much falling in the camp of what you were talking about, Elle, where I kind of have expectations now and it's kind of not been fulfilled.
Earlier I was talking about how the album built up and settled and it needed to, and etc. I think a good example of that is track 4, because it comes in kind of a weird moment. Blew Up the World, that is. Comes in a weird moment because, weird in the way I didn't expect this song to be here. So it starts out with like a slower kind of acoustic guitar. But then it builds and builds, and when the electric guitar does come in, the song gets really big, and I just really enjoyed the guitar there. But yeah, it's one of those that I enjoy so much it kind of ended abruptly for me. I kind of wanted more of it, but yeah, I just really loved the guitar in that.
Yeah, I really enjoyed this one. I think, yeah, for similar reasons, it has that kind of more stripped back element to it that then builds, and I think they do it really well. And yeah, it I think very much captures that feeling, like it like a feeling of loneliness where it feels very kind of stripped back and isolating, and then can build into something quite overwhelming. And it has the lyric, I can't call my mom at all, I told her there's nothing wrong, which I thought was just such a simple way of saying, like, you know, you've put up this front, like, oh, everything's fine, but actually you're really struggling, but because you've told everyone that you're grand, you're kind of in a very tricky situation. And I think particularly, like, within the album, it's kind of got that acoustic moment that makes you stop. I think it just, yeah, really captures how that kind of loneliness can feel. And yeah, I think it's a really good track.
I thought So Kind was a more interesting song on the album, where it opens with that kind of chorus guitar, and it generally has maybe a bit more of like a 2010s indie rock type vibe, like the kind of bigger bands, maybe like Bombay Bicycle Club and Two Door Cinema Club and that kind of stuff, all of the club bands. But yeah, I really liked that clean rhythm tone that kind of comes in throughout as well. And it, yeah, it's lacking in high end, but it has this kind of grittiness to it while still being clean that I liked. And then it switches up at the end too, and has like almost, it has kind of like almost a funkiness to it, which I guess also you would hear in those kinds of bands I was talking about. And yeah, just overall had this much more pop sensibility to the whole thing than a lot of the rest of the album.
Well, let's disagree more, because I'm not sure if I'm a big fan on this one, So Kind. I felt things were a bit scattered about, and they didn't really play well together, especially compared to previous tracks. I think part of it was like the chord sequences didn't like resolve nicely, and just kind of I don't know. It felt like there was something missing. Maybe it was that high end. But yeah, it just didn't. It didn't capture me as much as the other ones.
Yeah, I can see, like, yeah, they don't resolve quite satisfyingly, but I think for me that kind of like made it stand out and made it like kind of catch my ear a bit, because I think a lot of the other tracks just they end up like resolving so nicely and like sounding so right that it almost feels like it's kind of like, okay, yeah, I get where we're going with this. Whereas this one felt a bit more like, I don't know what's about to come in this song. And yeah, we can go to different places and we can switch up completely at the end and do something really different.
I want to jump back to the tonal quality of her voice, track three. Yeah, I feel like the tone kind of changed a little bit. It felt more rounded. I don't know a better term, but that's what it felt like. I enjoyed the way she sang rap, the word rap. It just felt, it had like a nice flow and nice feel to it. Like it was more than just vocal, but like an instrument. And there was a nice atmosphere in this one. Because it had that added synth, whereas I think track two kind of missed that extra layer, which may have been a synth. This one did have that. And yeah, I don't think the crescendo in it hit as hard as I wanted it to. But I still think it was an interesting song with a different take on the vocal.
Yeah, I enjoyed this one for that vocal delivery as well. I think it then, because I was so focused on that vocal, I picked out more of the lyrics, and I really liked this one lyrically because I think it's quite blunt, and in a way that's it's still kind of thinking about, I guess, like sadder topics or whatever. It's not like upbeat necessarily, but there's almost like a humour to it that I really enjoyed. This kind of almost like a slightly deadpan humor. So it has the lyric like, I try to talk to God, but he says, sort yourself out, which I just found really funny. And then it has, it repeats, I don't want to ruin my life, but I want to go home with you, which again was just something where I was like, oh, actually, you could take that in quite a, I guess, like deeper, sadder, philosophical way. But also I was like, it's just a bit funny. Like if you're like, I don't know, in a bar somewhere and you're like, it's probably a bad decision, but maybe I'm going to go home with you. And I enjoyed that. And I enjoyed that from Pillow Queens generally and across this album, that they have, for me, like a nice balance of lyrics that are more gut-wrenching and some that I'm like, that's actually just quite amusing. And consistently that vocal delivery is really, really strong. And it feels powerful. I don't know if that's exactly the word I'm looking for, but there's like on certain points, I think particularly with this one, there's like a strength in the way that the lyrics are delivered that I really like. And then you kind of have that contrasting with some of the kind of slower, more, I guess, like power ballady, for lack of a better term, songs. And I enjoy that kind of variety in the vocal delivery as well. It doesn't feel kind of one note. There's, yeah, opportunities for kind of different experiences with it.
Yeah, I do think that the vocals across the record are quite strong, and they sound kind of bolder and more confident. I don't necessarily know if I like describing the as confident, but you know what I mean, right? Like compared to their previous stuff, I think they are kind of believing in them. Again, I'm assigning like like motive to the stuff. they sound like they're more confident, you know. They sound like they're like willing to try more stuff. And yeah, I liked that line that you pulled out, Elle, as well. I found that the song just kind of like, it does have that kind of power ballady thing, but it just kind of trucks along all the way through. I think the vocal kind of does keep some interest, but I kind of wanted maybe a bit more different going on. And I think it was partly that it followed on from Suffer, which I think has a great chorus. And then the verses are probably the part on the album that sound the most like kind of over polished kind of mainstream rock stuff, where it does feel like they're kind of like, oh, they're doing it as a service to get to the chorus a bit more than I think on other songs, where I think the songs work better as a whole. That was just one where I felt like they'd got that good idea in the chorus, and then the rest of it I just felt like was a bit lacking.
I think two tracks that go together that I feel have some really powerful lyrics are The Bars Closed and Gone, those two together. The Bars Closed has some really like just single emotional lines, like you're not my wife. It's just very, very impactful because it kind of stops like most of the instruments and then we continue again. And then Gone, the vocals in general were emotional. But then you also have the other vocals in the back, which are more angry and more harsh. And it felt like possibly those vocals were like her mind, like really saying things in the way she actually wants to say them. So I do like that layering that they've used there.
Yeah, I really enjoyed these two tracks paired together as well. The Bars Closed to me was one of my, actually, and Gone, they were both a couple of my favorites on the album. And lyrically, yeah, I really enjoyed these two, particularly with The Bars Closed, where you have the lyric, you're not my life anymore, you're not my life. And then on Gone, you have the choruses, I'm gone, I'm someone else's son, I'm gone. And I liked how it's kind of two sides of the same coin with those two tracks. You have, you know, the kind of this like bittersweet thing of, you know, you're not my everything and I'm not your everything anymore. And there's, you know, both pros and cons to that being the situation as it is now. And I like that you kind of get the two ways of looking at it. And with the bars closed as well, I also really liked the lyric, "When the bars closed, the high road seems so high." Don't know why, I just really enjoyed it. I was like, wow, that's a nice lyric. But it's this, the bars closed to me is one of those like power ballady ones on the album, which I really liked. It's kind of dream pop vibes. And I just felt like they did that really well. And I felt like it paired well with the vocal delivery. And then going into Gone, it's just, they're, it's a great little double act in the middle of the album, those two tracks. And I really enjoyed it.
Anything else we want to touch on?
I liked the album art.
I agree. I really liked this album art. I think it's cool and dreamy. It makes me think of like shoegaze and dream pop and the Cranberries.
Yeah, maybe that's subconsciously where my mind's going. But well, I'm never not thinking about the Cranberries. So my mind is always trying to make connections somehow.
Right then, let's wrap up our review by ranking the album. As always, album rankings are down in the description for you to go and have a look at. Where would we like to put Name Your Sorrow by Pillow Queens? I think this is possibly going to be the most divisive of any album, so I'll just get my part out of the way for people to then go and disagree. I'd put it, I'm not completely decided, either side of Golfer.
That's shocking.
I think I've been listening to the Sunset Violent actually a reasonable amount, and I'm enjoying that album more and more. And I really like just the vibe of the whole thing. Golfer, like I said in the review, was pretty hit and miss, I think, in the songs. So I think this album's probably more consistent. But then Golfer in its best moments is like absolutely explosive and really exciting, which I think this album maybe lacked a bit for me. I'm kind of hoping that this is one that's going to grow on me over the year. I think their last one did when I wasn't listening to it in the context of a whole album where I just picked out songs that I liked. So maybe that'll happen with this one as well. But right now, having listened to it a few times, like, it just hasn't caught me.
Well, I'm going to disagree in a move that I think shocks no one. I would obviously place it higher just because I think also it's very much the kind of music that I personally enjoy. That's always going to play a part into it. And lyrically, there was a lot I enjoyed, and that's always going to sway me because I love overanalyzing lyrics. That being said, I do understand why you're kind of less keen on it. So I wouldn't be like going into the heady heights of like the very top of the ranking. But I think for me, see, I was gonna say above Omni, but I'm actually like, maybe it's not. I think for me it's either 6 or 7. And I'm gonna wait for James to make the kind of final call. I'm gonna place it on him.
This is really weird now because like I would put it higher. I would put it at like number 5.
Rogue. Oh my
god. Wow, that I wasn't expecting that.
That's absolutely, that's thrown everything off.
Wait, it may, I feel like we need to have another week, listen to the album again, just to make sure we're listening to the right one.
Next week is Name Your Sorrow by Pillow Queens, take 2.
Take 2.
Yeah, bad habits. Habit. I keep saying habit. I typed habits last week. And I'm like, I was searching for it. I was like, where is it? But it's bad hats. Anyway, I felt that was more inconsistent in this one. I enjoyed this album this week just a lot, and consistently enjoyed track to track. That's why I want to put it up there. I've got much more to say. I just really enjoyed it and thought it was consistent.
God,
so, Elle, in a shocking turn of fate, you've got the power.
It's actually really stressful. The issue is, I do think this one will grow on me more than others on the list, and I already like this one.
Oh, you're saying I'm right. Okay, fair enough.
I don't think those words came out of my mouth. I think I would go on the higher end of what I said, so I'd put it I'm going to go with number 6.
Well, there we go. Pillow Queen's Name Your Sorrow is on you, number 6. On to upcoming releases this week. What's coming out that you need to know about? First off, if you want some pop music that's not Taylor Swift to listen to, Dua Lipa's new record, Radical Optimism, comes out this week. Exciting time. I like Dua Lipa. I think she's good. Hopefully this is a good record. Next up, Abibio Sound Machine is releasing a new album called Pull the Rope. James, you're a really big fan of the album we reviewed of theirs last time, if I recall correctly.
Apparently.
Yes, you do. Apparently, yeah. Who knows what type of person I am this year, so we'll see.
We'll see if you still like that one and if you might enjoy this one. And finally, Sunny Day Real Estate are releasing a live album. It's called, well, it's Diary Live at London Bridge Studios, so presumably it's just a live version of that record, which is one of the best post-hardcore albums of all time. So if you want some of that, that's coming out. That's it for upcoming releases, and that's it for the show. Thank you for listening. Thank you, James and Elle, for joining me.
Thank you.
If you like the show, new episodes come out every Monday. If you're likely to forget, you can subscribe on your podcast service of choice and consider turning on notifications to be reminded. If you want to get in touch with us, you can drop us an email at unmutedunmastered@gmail.com. The album for next week is Passions by Halogenics.